Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavigetto, Olpi, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
Why did they do it? Why did they simply follow Jesus? You know, in small towns, a new faith certainly generated curiosity. But is that reason enough for Simon to accept a stranger's invitation to follow and to accept later on a nickname? For that matter, would you want to be called what? Cephas, Petros in Greek. Was it really a compliment, or was Jesus' wry sense of humor shining forth, calling him Rocky? You think he did it because maybe he sank like a rock when he tried to walk on the waters? Consider the father of James and John. You know, for a Jewish father, life doesn't get any better than this. Mending the nets with your sons. This is Jewish honoring your father and mother, working together for the family. Jesus messes all that up. He calls and they leave. They leave the old man with just the nets and some hired men. If you were their dad, wouldn't you react? The old man blew a gasket. Have you ever wondered why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder? So you've got to imagine and fill in the story. Paint the story in your mind. See, the wonderful thing about Jewish stories, both in the New Testament and the Old, is that they leave intentional gaps and they invite you to color it in. You have to fill it in with your own insights and experiences and make them your own. You know, a story is not simply passive entertainment. They invite a dynamic engagement between the story and the reader, the hearer. That's why we use Lexia Divina in our small faith-sharing groups. I invite you to see your story, yourself in the gospel story, and the gospel story in your daily life. And in that dynamism between the gospel and your story, to create a new God and touch story of your life. And today's story therefore asks us, what would it take for you to drop everything and follow Jesus? In the ancient world, you didn't abandon father or family without an impelling vision. You had too much to lose. First century Jews had already suffered so much. They lost their independence to the Romans. They knew increased dislocation and financial disparity. Their small holdings were being gobbled up by larger concerns. Sound familiar? While their self-worth sank in a sea of an alien Roman culture. And so those Jews, they wanted God's kingdom now. Not later, they wanted it now. God, get off and get going. So Jesus' word, the kingdom of God is near. This is the time of fulfillment. Repent and believe in the gospel. Meant only one thing to them. God's coming now in saving power. Even the father of James and John would have been ameliorated with the thought that maybe things would get better if Jesus brought God's kingdom. How bad does this world have to get before you clamor for God to act? How bad does it have to get before you risk all to help others? In that moment, you would understand Peter and Andrew, James and John. Now the book of Proverbs tells us, without a vision the people perish. This is true on the individual level, on the business level, on the corporate level, on the national level. A guiding vision, purpose, and passion is necessary if they are to flourish. But the proverb here means something more. It's just not my vision or my sales point, but God's. But God's. Without God's purpose, we perish. Not because we mess things up, but because we've never become fully alive with that liveliness which is God himself. The emperor Marcus Aurelius had it right. It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live at all. God wants us to come alive. So Jesus calls us. He calls. And the sad thing is that repent and believe in the gospel says only a part of what Jesus actually said in the Greek. Too often we hear that word repent as if it means, well, thumping on my chest, being sorry or guilty for what I've done or what I've failed to do. Well and good. But that word repent, metanoite, means be converted. To not merely turn away from something, but to turn to a new way of living. It means literally to change your thinking, your way of thinking, and thus your way of living. It means to set out in a new direction. Now, one doesn't hear much about imagination, and preaching. But that changing of thinking demands a conscious effort to embrace a new imagination, to paint in our mind a new picture of what God is like and what Jesus is like and who we are to become. I tell couples preparing for marriage that their relationship is their work of art. But the trouble is a great American myth about marriage is that you find that perfect other and marriage simply happens. Utter nonsense. You'll tend to do only what you've seen. You got to create the vision, create the picture, be intentional about how you create the relationship you want. It's like saying that if you gave me the perfect car, I would become a perfect driver. Well, give me a Lamborghini Centauro at 1.9 million a pop, 0 to 100 kilometers per minute in under 2.8 seconds, and I guarantee you something really less than perfect driving. Like driving, like marriage, the Christian life is not something that simply happens. You got to make your life a spirit-inspired work of art. What picture do you want to paint of yourself, especially for these kids? Mom and Dad, what picture do you want to paint for them by how you live with each other? Now, the greatness of the four people is not that they had it totally figured out. They just knew they had to walk with Jesus. We're called to walk with Jesus. They had that openness to learn and the daring to enter into God's dream. The medieval said, first an intention, last an execution. Translated, if you don't envision it, if you don't dream it, it never becomes real. Today's gospel gives us the model of four men daring to walk with Jesus by risking everything and leaving it all behind, the strikeout and begin to see the world with Jesus' eyes. They wanted the kingdom that much. Now, the first reading, Jonah, is the exact opposite. Sadly, they sliced and diced it. Did Jonah want to go to Nineveh? No. He went on a ship in the exact opposite direction. He did not want to go to Nineveh for the simplest of reasons. He hated their guts. He loathed them because Nineveh was the Assyrians. And the Assyrians had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel with a brutality totally unmatched. He didn't want to preach because he was afraid God might just have mercy on them and forgive them. You know, the book of Jonah actually was written long after Nineveh. It was an inspired tale penned to protest against the narrow nationalism of post-exilic Judaism. The writer challenges people. This is the first social justice document in the world. How will you look at the other, especially the one you want to hate? God invites Jonah and the story into his compassion. And he really wants none of it. No one is great in God's eyes.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.